This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 299. We're starting a brand new franchise. We're starting the Planet of the Apes franchise, but actually the remake of a remake of the Planet of the Apes. So we're going to start off with the 2011 version of Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, introduce our special guest for our lovely two episodes.
This episode and the next episode as well, we got a very special guest. You might know her if you've ever seen our live shows. She's in the chat. She's a longtime patron and also my movie partner / best friend. Her name is Beckish. Beckish, please say hello to all the people listening at home.
That's me. I'm the best. I'm Nate's best. Rebecca Beckish. Becklish. If you ask Alex.
Depending who you ask, it's either Beckish here or Becklish. So yeah, it's either one. But she is here, and she's going to be reviewing some apes with us, and she'll be on next week as well.
Yeah, so all right, so let's start it off with some financials, and then we'll go to some critics. Mm. All right, so let's go financially. This movie budgeted at $93 million. Not bad for a CGI film, if you really think about it. The whole movie is all CGI
for 93.
Animals. It does. Worldwide total of $481 million. Nate, is it successful?
Big hit. I mean, big hit if you go by our metrics of at least double. But even if you went with the 2.5 times factor, double of 90 is what, 180? So this thing doubled that. So it made plenty of money. And I think this was gave the studio a lot of confidence to continue with making the sequels. Because this is I can't believe the budget was that low, to be honest with you. Stealth cost $130 million. And this movie cost $90 million. And the CGI in this is amazing.
Dude, it was like almost the whole apes were guys in suits and they look like real apes.
It was all mocap, but it looks fantastic.
They did. All right, Bex, what do you think of the worldwide total? Are you surprised?
I don't know much about numbers, but it is surprising based on the last podcast I heard with the movie Stealth. I guess I am a little bit surprised. It is a very nice movie to watch. Like all the scenes, they seem real to me. He seems real to me. So that to me is a big deal when it comes to CGI.
Yeah, I think the budget is more surprising than the box office total.
I agree. I just saw this for the first time now and I'm like, what? $93 million. And in reality, the movie, in terms of special effects, this is out of the 299 episodes that we've seen, this is the perfect watching one. Like, I mean, in terms of flawless, like I did not see any wrongdoing. Like you could go, oh, that's CGI. You couldn't at all. It was just weird in that sense. All right. Critics and audience, Nate, for Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, you know, we're starting a new franchise. So this is the first one. So on the next two, I'll be giving the difference between each one, which I started last week. This one's pretty good, guys. It's got some pretty good reviews. This has an 82% critic score. So 82% of the critics said this is a good movie. And with audiences where we have experienced plenty of gaps when we do these movies. Uh-huh. Not a big one here, bro. 77%. So only a 5% difference between audiences and critics. Both very impressive, I think. For
this
a movie
is
like
shocking.
This, impressive.
But it's very shocking, though.
Yeah.
Because we did movies that, I mean, like a movie like this, where you're going, which we're going to talk about in our review what we think of it. But I'm very shocked that the audience is lower than the critics.
I can agree with that. But let's just, for context, let's just look at the original Planet of the Apes. 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
So why I wanted to bring that up is because it's considered a classic film. And this one's only 5% less. And it's like a CGI reboot. So that's pretty impressive.
I think it's very shocking, though, in this sense with the audience. I'm very shocked. Like, that means not many people like this version of the film.
No, 77% of people liked it. But it is weird that it's lower than the critic. That doesn't happen that often with certain kind of movies it does. But in our experience with action, it's usually the other way around.
All right, so before we go into our review, I want to ask, when you guys saw this for the first time, we're going to go around the table. What was your initial reaction coming out the theater, seeing this for the first time? Okay, Bex, take it over.
Well, for me, I thought it was fantastic. It really tied the story together. Okay, how are they going to do it now based on, you know, was it a show or a movie? It was a movie. Instead of it being a Planet of the Apes, it is our real world, real life. Okay, this could definitely have happened. And for me to believe a story like that and to sit and feel like I was a part of the cast just just because of how, you know, realistic it was, because I'm just a big animal lover. So watching him and it seemed realistic to me, I empathize with him and I was in it from beginning to end. So I liked it a lot.
Mink?
Yeah, funny theater story. Me and Becca saw this together at the theater back when it came out at a midnight screening. And there was some very loud talkers in our theater and we had to move seats. I specifically remember this movie because we started in one seat and moved to another one because they wouldn't shut up. To her point, I also liked it. I remember being like, I'm not going to like this movie because I had never seen the original one with Charlton Heston. And I hated that Mark Wahlberg one. So I was like, I don't know about this movie. This movie looks kind of...
That's right. I completely forgot about the Mark Wahlberg.
Everyone did. Everyone should forget about the Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Once this one came out, I think everyone forgot
that got deleted from history.
Yeah. Tim Burton's version went out the window.
I was like, and this is the first one that doesn't have people in suits. You know, it's like, so I was surprised at how much I liked it. I'll just say that.
Yeah. When I saw this in the theater, I came out of the theater going, what the hell? Like, what did I watch? Because I did watch I didn't see the originals, but I saw the Tim Burton one in the theater. And I was just like, this is god awful. The only redeem of that is that they really had Charles Heston in the suit in the film. People didn't know that it was really him in the movie, but it was really him as I think he was like the grandpa ape or something like that, the old guy.
Papa ape.
Yeah, he was the one that said, get your damn hands off me, you dirty human. He said
he flipped the line.
But that was Charles Heston's version. But I was just like, whatever. When I saw this one, I was like, holy crap, like, this is where we are with CGI. And I was just like, wow, this is crazy, where it was just a lot believable. But I enjoyed it a lot. And I was just like, I wanted more of this franchise. But as it is, let's break it down, because it's been a while since we've seen these on the rewatch. So let's go with the review. Nate, you started off with the lead character, Caesar. And John Franco, because he's in this movie too.
James Franco. Yeah, we'll tie him together. I mostly scored Caesar. He is the titular ape of the rise. He's the riser of the apes. So, quick note on Franco. He's miscast in this movie. I don't think he's bad. I'm not saying I like him in comedy. I like him in Spider-Man. That's it. Yeah. Like, if for some reason, I could probably take him serious in a serious role, but this role, he didn't fit as a scientist. Like, I wasn't buying it. Although, I don't think his performance is bad. So, I don't think he acted well. I just don't think he was the right guy for the role. Caesar, though. Andy Serkis. Doing the motion capture. Just, he's the best, right? I mean, at this point, he played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies. He played King Kong in the Peter Jackson's King Kong. So he had already done some, like, ape work, I guess. Ape work? Is that a thing? He did some ape work already. I thought he was amazing. Caesar, the fact that they were able, and I think that it helps that it was motion capture for the face, because the fact that you're able to, like, get emotionally attached and understand the feelings of a computerized character says a lot about not just the CGI, but about the actual performance of the person underneath and the writing, you know? Just the scene alone where James Franco goes to visit him, and I'll let Bekesh tell you where he visits him at, but where he goes to visit him and he's like ready to take him home and he closes the door. He's like, nah, bro, this is my home now. This is where I live now. You get out of here. I'm here with my family. And I was like, dang, you know? And of course, the iconic scene when he just goes, no! Amazing. Amazing. Like, I literally, I think I did a one clap when I saw it in the theater. One clap hard like that. Yes. And I give him a 5. I give Caesar a 5. The fact that he only says 4 words in this whole movie, you know, he says no, and he says Caesar is home. That's it. That's all his dialogue.
Yeah.
And I still give him a 5. He's amazing. Franco, I would give, if we were scoring him, I'd give him like a 3. He's whatever. 5.
Well, for me, it made me laugh when he said, I can tell you where it's from, because I didn't mean to say it. We were talking about me watching the movie. I'm like, yeah, they had him in monkey jail. And he just busted out laughing. So
monkey jail.
They had him in monkey jail. No, in chimp jail, I should say. But to me, Caesar 5, hands down. I've watched nature shows. I like them. I like watching them in their natural habitat. I like learning about them. They are incredible, amazing creatures. And the fact that he was able to capture it, it was a human capturing those types of movements, and it just drew me in. And then, you know, from him wanting to just play with the kids, but then wanting to protect his grandfather and going through all of these emotions, you feel like you're growing with him. And then when he becomes this adult that gets abandoned and abused, and then, you know, he has to figure it out for himself, and then you just see the genius come out and how he was able to rise up like that. It was impeccable. 5. He's right. So I love the guy in Pineapple Express. I loved him in, you know, funny movies. Knocked Up. He was in Knocked Up. I had to write this. I had to look it up. For the time, the only serious thing he was in was Spider-Man. So for me, this was kind of too serious a role for me to be able to take him. His dad died and he just looks up and blinks, you know. I'm like, okay, next scene. Sad. So I don't know. I agree with Nathan.
I'll go quick. In terms of James Franco, he reminded me of Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. I'd never believed him as Bruce Banner as Hulk. Like, I prefer if they had a real scientist in the damn, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt like he was like a, I don't know. I, that's what I felt like with James Franco. Did he work? Yeah, he did for the, I guess he was the perfect role for that time, I guess. I don't know who else could they got for it. I don't know. I mean, they must have casted so many people, but they landed this guy for some reason.
I mean, he was a name. He's a name at the time, but.
Yeah, and then what happened right after, right? He got hit with the sexual abuse something, and then they wrote him out of the sequel. So, that's what I'm saying. So, like, for me, like, they had so many actors that they could have put in that role, they landed on this guy for some reason. But he was all right. He was okay. I agree with you guys. I mean, he has act. He could act. It's not like he's that horrible. So he was good. Now Caesar was so good. I was just like, holy crap! And you're right. The evolution of Caesar rise to power was really flawless. Like, I love when he was like climb Caesar and he's running all over the trees and you see him getting older and older and older. And I like how they did that because they could have stretched that damn thing out for a long time. Him getting as an adult, but they did that really right. I mean, I agree with Nate. The whole no scene was the best part. I remember seeing it in the theater and I was shocked. I was like, oh man, you guys are done. Like, once he said no, I was like, oh man, this dude's gonna beat your ass somewhere, somehow. Mm-hmm. And he didn't.
Poop emoji just to
And I liked how he used his smarts. Like, the guy picked up the electricity stick and he shot him with water. That was mad funny. He just shot him, he fell back.
Draco Malfoy.
Yeah. And acted a little bit like him too.
That's him.
I'm saying he acted
as his Harry Potter role.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, that was cool. But for me, I thought the ending, the third act with Caesar, I think it was like I was like, okay, this was like really good. I mean, I could have watched an extended of the bridge scene over and over because, like, I love how they called him Caesar, but I liked him because he's very strategic. Like, when he was like, wait a minute, every human is coming off the bridge. He's like, these dudes are trying to attack us. Like, all right, you guys go up, we go in the down.
And yes. I was
like,
that was. You saw him do that sign language thing. He's like,
and I was like, okay, this
And you know what
cool.
else I liked about it? They gave him layers because he didn't really want to kill humans. He literally just wanted to go to the trees. That's all he wanted.
Yes.
I want to be free. These humans want to beat the crap out of them and shoot them. So if some of them die, but he didn't want to like murder humans. Correct. And I like that about him because it makes him more sympathetic.
Well, because he was raised by the doctor. He was like, wait a minute, humans are good if you give them a chance. But these guys were so abused in the cages. They were like, oh, hell no. All humans are bad. And he's just like, human, no bad.
Yeah. I love James. Oh, what was his name? I don't even remember the character.
His name was Will. Will Rodman.
I love Will. I love Will. Caesar home. I love Will.
Caesar home.
I love Will. And he just goes up the tree.
I'll just say this. The scene that... The scene that he beats the crap out of the next door neighbor because he was pushing the fire. This dude was
he bit his finger.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, dude. I was like, and that, I mean, this dude has strength because he kicked them off the bat, and like he flipped them over. I mean, he could have killed them if he wanted to, but he saw the little girl and he stopped. But
he chopped it.
I mean, he just straight up bit the finger. And I guess that was a bad sign language because like he kept looking at him pointing in his chest. Yes. And I guess. Yeah,
you're
he did not like
aggressive, sir.
He did not like
you.
Yeah, he was wilding. I like that a lot. All right, five across the board. Main villain. Now, the villain here, I don't know what it could be. Humans.
I told Beckish to score, and maybe you'll agree, Alex. The monkey jail owners. So you got William Stryker and Draco Malfoy.
Okay, John Landon. That's Brian Cox.
And the black guy, the head of the science people.
Steve Jacobs.
Yeah, them. Like them pretty much the villains.
All right. Yeah. All right. Steve Jacobs is the owner of the pharmaceutical company. Yep. And then John Landon is the animal cruelty guy. So Bex, you can start this one off. What do you give those guys?
I had a back and forth with Nathan about this. I'm like, how do you determine who the villain is when you feel like there's more than one? Yeah. But I think the one that really struck me most, because the rich lab owner, he wasn't memorable. He didn't make me hate him enough to feel like he was a villain in this story. But the sleazy gatekeepers, Harry Potter kid, and the other guy, they made me want to five finger punch them. So I think I would definitely give them a five for being a villain. Because if you want to, you know, if you make me want to punch you in the face, I feel like you deserve all five fingers, and I gave them a five. They really, really made me want to hurt somebody for what they were doing. So if I could be drawn into a story that much, then bravo to you for being a douchebag.
There you go. And he's Dodge Landon, Tom Felton. He's the son of
he's
Brian
Draco
Cox.
Malfoy and William Stryker. That's who they are. That's who they are to me.
Yeah, he fulfilled his douchebag. Yes. So I'm okay with
other movies where they're also bad guys.
Yeah.
So I could totally see her score there, especially because she like loves animals. I could see like them, you know, really pissing her off. I split the difference with the villains. They're bad. They're definitely bad, and they're abusive. And David Oyolo is the actor that plays the other guy, the laboratory guy. And he was bad too. I mean, look, the fact is he didn't care about any of the apes. He's like, that's why we test on them. Who cares? If they die, they die. Whoop-de-doo. He was all about money. He was willing to push these things that weren't ready. And then at the end, he dies in a helicopter crash. So neither one of them were like super... This is not that kind of action movie, I guess is what I'm saying. Of like villains that you must stop. There's just people who mistreated the apes enough for you to hate them. You know what I mean? And yeah. I didn't like them. So I think they did a good job there. I gave them a four. I landed on a four. If they were like, if they really focused on one or the other, maybe it would go higher for me. But for me, a four.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the, I went with a five. And I think, I guess because this movie is, see, it's kind of hard because this movie has so many layers of villains. Because Caesar had to go through the evolution of him becoming the ape. So you had the scientist with James Franco's character. So you had to develop that crap. And then he's developing the Alzheimer's disease, which it's so much. We'll talk about that storyline.
Storyline, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you have that plot line with the villain. But then you have the animal control people. So you're just like, damn. But then you knew they were going to be the assholes because you knew this someone's going to be beating on the apes just to get them wild up and then move the story along, which I thought it worked. I mean, him breaking out to get to the facility to grab the canisters and then let's give it intelligence to all the apes. I kind of liked it a lot. And yeah, I did want it to like beat the crap out of Dodge Landon. I was like, he's a dick. Like he brought those girls in and he shocked the damn thing and they all started wiling up and yeah. Caesar just stood there standing like, dude, I'm going to beat your ass first.
I cannot wait to tap like, that.
Caesar was standing there with his pants, his little pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the only one who wears pants. Yeah.
Yeah. He stood there standing like, I'm going to get you. Somewhere, somehow, I'm going to get to you. And I thought that was really great. And then towards the ending, how all the humans, you know, all the cops just started to, you know, they jumped in also. So, I mean, in reality, is the humans?
All the humans are bad, except James
Franco.
Yeah,
it's bad in this storyline. Yeah. But in a way, the movie made you feel like, it's weird, like the movie makes you want to like the apes. Even when they take over the whole planet, you're just like, I'm going for Caesar on this one. Like, you guys did it to yourself.
Right.
In this one.
Ain't that a funny thing? The original movies are about the apes being bad and like the human, you're rooting for Charlton Heston. And in this movie, you're rooting for the monkeys. The apes.
Yeah.
Chimps,
yeah.
Whatever they are, you know?
But the funny thing is with the original, there were some good. It's not like they were all bad.
Yeah,
you know, like
true.
The doctor tried to help him. Yeah. He's like, stay quiet. Don't speak. And he just like, and then he spoke. And then of course, that's when all the famous lines came out.
Just
but
did what I told you not to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Villain wise, five on that one. So action scenes, which I already think we can see where we're going to go with this across the board. But Nate, you're going to go with it first. What do you give the action?
I don't know if we're going to go all across the board with this because I don't, just because you said that now, I don't think so because I gave it a four. It's not a five for me. I reserve my fives for the ultimate. I don't think this is the ultimate. This is not the ultimate action. It's good. It's very good. There's also not a lot of action. It's literally the last 30 minutes where the action takes place. You have like a little bit of, you have like the ape who escapes in the beginning and runs through the facility. Okay, that's not, you know, it's fine. It didn't like make me stand up and cheer or anything. And then you have the apes fighting a little bit in the monkey jail, as Beckish beautifully put it, the monkey jail fights. Okay, not much. And then the end, you do have the scene where the apes finally break out. They go to the facility and it is a long action scene. And it all my whole 4 points goes for the end part of the movie. Like the third act is where all the action is. It's good. You know, you got the helicopters coming in, the cops coming in. But nothing was like the most incredible thing I saw to give it a five for me. So I gave it a four though. This movie has good action. And you know what else? I think, and I try not to do this when we review these movies, but I know what's coming up in the other movies. And the action in this is not as good as those. And so I'm not going to give it a five. It's a four for me.
Bex, you're next. What do you give the action?
Okay. Well, I mean, I gave it a 5. Because I was looking at it as an independent film. I know that there are others, but if I was reviewing this particular movie and scoring this particular one on its action, I mean, the fact that he pulled out Big Dog and he was like, you're going to help me because I'm going to be your boy. And then he, like, I was like, that is so smart. I wonder what he's going to do next. And everything was an escalation for the next scene when they broke out the other monkeys from, I mean, the other chimps from the zoo. And then they took the fence and made it spears. And then they, you know, freed the other one that was trapped. And then they, the whole bridge thing, the go up and go under, and then him riding on a horse. It just, all of it excited me. And I thought deserved it was with the CGI included, right? Because we're not watching real animals, but we're still watching this action that feels so real. I have to 5-finger punch it.
There you go.
I mean, look, I don't know. I've seen the other twos too. But this is a 5. I don't know. Because if you got to think of it this way. If they never made the 2 and 3, then this would be the solo.
Because no, you would not. It
only has action in the last 30 minutes. What? So why? This, what do you mean, so what? I'm not going to go through this. But I'm just saying.
But it still needs a storyline. Yeah, it can't be action the whole time. You got to give it context.
Of course not. But you got to think. We're scoring specifically the action of the film. It is very good. A 4 for me is very good. 4 out of 5. It's not perfect. This is not a perfect action movie. So that's all I'm saying.
No, you're right. Okay. No, but in terms of the whole perfect score,
not a perfect action movie, but is a perfect amount of action in the movie for the story.
I'm just saying,
because you got gorillas pushing a bus to hold bullets for them to go across. Once that happens, you got one gorilla sacrifices himself for my man Caesar, throws his ass into the helicopter. Then you got my man Cobra kicks the damn helicopter down with my man Jacob's going, oh, not you. And he's like, Cobra, kicks him down. I was like, hell yeah. I mean, you're right. He rides a helicopter. He beats the next door's neighbor's ass when he touched technically his grandfather because he thinks he's part of the family. I don't know. I think it has enough action for this type of story. Now, other movies would be more, it'd be more intense, more whatever. But in terms of this... In terms of the first film, I think this is a perfect amount of action, and I was all up in it, and I agree with Bex. All that spear throwing from the roof, they could have speared everybody.
You know what? I don't disagree with your guys' scores. I understand your points, but you know me. And this is 299 episodes in, y'all already know. Always the harder one on action.
Oh, no, yes. You're very...
You're right.
This is on par for me. It's very good. Mm-hmm. I save my 5s for when I'm blown away. I wasn't blown away. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's cool. It's cool. Because I don't typically do this all the time. I don't go ahead and
I was just throwing up 5s left and right. 5s left and 5. Everything 5. 25 and 35.
You're going to see a pattern with me, too, if you ever invite me.
All right. We got 2 5s. We got a 4. Storyline, Bex. What you give it?
Oh, gosh. That's me. Storyline. Well, I'm going to give you 1 5. Guess. I gave it 1
Does it
slap.
Rhyme with 5?
I gave it 1 slap. It rhymes with live. 5. I'm telling you, it captured my heart. It captured my mind. It captured everything that I love about animals. The fact that it looked as if I was watching a real animal on screen. And I could totally see it evolving into almost being human. If you can pull that off, then you deserve a good score. So that's what I give it.
All right, Nate.
Nothing wrong with that. I gave it a 4. I think this movie is... very good. I think it is very good. I almost say it's better than it should be. You know what I mean? You think on paper, if someone came into the pitch meeting like, hey, we want to reboot Planet of the Apes, but we're going to show it from the beginning, like when the apes, before they even took over. To me, I'd be like, good luck. Like, that doesn't seem like a great idea, especially knowing that all the movies before were people in suits. You know what I mean? So I do think it was interesting. I thought the storyline was good. The reason I gave it a 4 is because it does this balancing act where it's trying to be both a virus movie and then this apes movie. You know what I mean? And I believe the original Planet of the Apes, the people were wiped out by nuclear war, and they killed each other. So here they're changing it to this virus from this company. And then at the end, you know, in the credits, they show it like spreading all around from the pilot and then the next person and whatever. So it has like a little bit of Outbreak and then a little bit of Apes. And I think for the most part it worked, but I wish a lot of the virus stuff was really downplayed to the end instead of trying to sprinkle it in, because then it lessened the impact a little bit for me. So I gave it a 4 though. I thought it was very good, well-written, good characters. A very solid starting point for sure.
Yeah, I gave it a 5. Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. The virus part for me, it came towards the end though. Like it wasn't like the main focal point.
Sprinkled throughout though. The fat guy, he gets sick. Yes, he gets sick.
Yeah, but he got sick when they did Koba, and then that didn't come back till later down the road.
That's what I mean. It's the middle of the movie. They're already starting.
I guess. I don't know. I just think in terms of the meat and the potatoes of the film. Look, I say for me, for a remake, and I always tell people, if it is told in that most unique way, that it feels original, and it feels like they took something that everyone loved and enhanced it by a million, I'm going to give it a 5. And this movie did that. And I agree with you, Nick, because when you look at the original, these dudes came from outer space, they did not know it was New York.
Yeah.
They landed on Earth. It was like, that's it. That's their story. This one is like, okay, how are we going to tell this entire brand new story? How did they come up? A scientist is trying to come up with a cure for his father's Alzheimer's, and they tested it on chimps, and the chimp had a baby, and the baby had actually the original thing, and then he became a season. Like, I thought that was all genius. Now, from point A, point B, I was like, this is pretty cool, and I liked it, and I think what happens is that they went away from that, and then you started to focus on Caesar's emotions, like him with the humans, and then him becoming the leader that we all know is going to become within the 3 films. So, like, for me, I liked that a lot. I thought it worked for me in terms of storyline, so I gave it a 5. I was like, this, to me, has to be the best, and when they decide to do another one, man, they're going to have a lot of an uphill battle to try to go up with these storylines. That's for me.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if they're going to continue after war. Like, if they just stay with this story.
If it's Cornelius, his son. Yeah, because I'll be like, okay, that would make sense.
Instead of rebooting it again, because good luck. You ain't going to be able to do that twice.
Nope. I agree with that. All right, here we go. Overall.
Yeah. Overall, for me, this is a 4 out of a 5. I think it's a very good movie. To be honest, even, you know, I've seen these movies each a couple of times. This one's my least favorite of the 3. But I do think it's very good. I think it's very good. I think it's a great start to a rebooted franchise. You know, they do switch directors. Who's the director of this one? You have the thing up still. It's a guy who I don't really think.
I'm really bad with director names, so here we go.
I think it's Rupert Wyatt.
Rupert Wyatt.
Okay, Rupert Wyatt. Yeah, and he didn't really do anything else after this. You know what I mean?
No.
I know Matt Reeves takes over for the next 2, and those just have a little bit more everything to me. So I do like this movie a lot, though. I think it's paced well, 1 hour and 40 minutes, moves quick, fun action, good characters. I enjoy Caesar a lot. I love Caesar. Mostly I watch for him. Like, this movie is a showcase for him, and everything else is there and it's fine. But it's a 4 for me.
All right, Bex.
I don't know if I could go down from my continuous 5s over here. because if we were voting villain to be the rich lab owner, I would have given him a 3. If we were voting James Franco to be the lead character, I would have given him a 3. So for that, I think it's fair for me to give it a 4, just because those 2 pieces I could have done without.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because you got to factor the whole picture.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I wasn't. Yeah. There were still things that I'm like, kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to overall, I gave it a 4. I didn't give it a perfect, because I thought Steve Jacobs' character, I think they could have did something more with him as the CEO. I think he could have did more diabolical crap. Yeah. Like, so they didn't focus more on him. And then I feel like they should have been more. I know it's going to sound wrong, but it should have been more destructions with the humans. Like, they should have been like going down the street whipping ass on the humans, going toward, like, we got that bridge.
slapping
babies or throwing them downstairs, like doing something weird.
The apes doing that?
Yeah.
I would have given the action a 5.
I don't agree with this.
No, because I'm speaking my language. Yeah, I would have given it 5. They threw some babies off a bridge. If I saw an ape chuck a baby off a bridge, 5.
Yeah. Like, to be really honest with you, like, that's the only thing for me that was missing. Like, yeah, we had that 30-minute ending on the bridge, but I was like, wait a minute. They were coming from the streets, and they should gave you a little bit. I was like, nah, they should have went through buildings and nice hitting people, tumbling buses over with people in it. Exactly. Like, I don't know, like having fun with that, but they didn't do that. Like, you had apes running through a like, and this is the thing that I was a little like, ah, you had apes running through the bridge, coming contact with humans, but they didn't hit them. They were just like, yeah, you can continue going this way because we're going on the forest. Like, in reality, if these apes were escaping, they're getting bowled like over. Like, all these humans are going to be getting hurt. Like, they're not going to get killed, but imagine a gorilla hitting you full force into a car. Like, I wanted to see that. Yeah, I wanted to see someone slamming into a car. But
man, Alex, let me tell you, you're really proving my point on the action here. This is exactly why I gave it a 4. If everything you said happened, 5. Yeah. But because it didn't,
Well, that's my overall. Yeah. Action's still a 5, but...
No, thank you. For me,
I wanted just more rated R version of the apes attacking humans.
That's right.
Because, and I wanted to see John Landon get his ass beat by Caesar, the gatekeeper of the animal.
Yeah, same. He got off light.
Yeah, he should have took all of them to his house. I waited.
like this with the stick.
Yeah,
you know?
Waited. Caesar home.
Just Caesar's home now.
Caesar's my home.
Look at me. Yeah, I am the captain now.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the scenes I did like a lot too is when he took out the big ape, the gorilla, the first gorilla. He opened up the cage and he was just like, come on, friend. Like, run free. Because
he's smart.
Where the other apes came from? Where did the gorillas come from? Because that was that one. Is it because of the zoo? They let go of everyone from the zoo?
Yeah, they had to because there was only like 20 apes in that facility and there was like 80 that were running around outside.
I was like, where did they get all these gorillas from? Yeah. I was just like, okay. Yeah. All right.
And Maurice.
They did the lab. They freed the ones in the lab. They freed the ones in the zoo. The zoo and the ones in the jail. There's three different
things. To get more canisters to give them smarts because now it's not that many smart apes.
That's another thing I was wondering. Are some of them still normal apes and they're just kind of following suit?
I think so.
Or probably. Are they all infected?
Yeah. I think the ones from the zoo are following the smart ones now because they don't get no more canisters to give around.
Too, apes have that natural hierarchy thing of like there is one that is like the alpha and Caesar established himself as that. So even the dumb ones know that he's the leader.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense in that because that would have been like, damn, we got to go back to get more canisters and throw that shit to the rest. Dump it over out. Here.
We need more canisters. Rise of the Planet of the Canisters.
Secret of the Canisters, like the turtles. The secret of you. All right, Nate, your total point.
21 out of 25. This movie is really good. It is really good. Again, I can't stress it enough. To reboot this franchise and to me, this is better than the old one. I mean, I saw the old one after, and it's dated, and like it's fine. I understand why it's held in high regard, but I like this one better. So the fact that they rebooted it, great launching point, fun movie, 21 out of 25.
All right, Bex, what's your total point?
I have no idea. 24. You're at 24. I want to say it's 24. Okay.
I keep counting. Don't worry. 24 out of 20.
All right. So I gave it a 24 also. I mean, I think for a starting point, this is a perfect film in terms of everything from storyline, characters, except James Franco's casting. But I think everything around it was great. I enjoyed it and I still will rewatch it over and over.
Oh, you know what? The other thing I forgot. I don't hate, but I think they wasted the, like, Frida Pinto, like, the little love story between them, useless. Like, tacked on. It felt like she was in it because she was in Slumdog Millionaire and they're, you know, but it was very just...
They needed a love interest.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. They literally could have cut it out and the movie's the same exact movie.
I agree with that one. Yeah. I do agree. But the only thing is like, they had her for, like, and that's, like, and again, he's a doctor, right? I mean, he is a doctor, scientist. Yeah. And it's like, oh, Caesar got hurt. Let me take him to the zoo. to someone who can like patch him up, and it's like a hot
in the park.
Chick.
Yeah. It's a like, hot vet.
Yeah, the hot vet.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Like, I don't know. I agree with you on that. In terms of there was nothing more. I will say, in terms of the father, I kind of liked him in the movie because me, it made Caesar. I don't know. For me, I felt like Caesar felt more human than an ape.
Well, yeah, and John, you know Lithgow what
I
mean?
Like he was attached.
Yeah, like, I like that stuff. Him. Really, only her. She's the only thing that's tacked on. that they could have just cut her out, didn't eat her.
My other favorite scene that I like, though, is when he couldn't cut the egg and Caesar saw him and he flipped the fork and then he looked at James Franco and he's just like, my man, it's back to dumbness. Like, he gave him that look like, you got to get this
new more canisters.
He's wearing it off. He's like, my man, they ain't looking too good over there. Yeah. But yeah, aww. I was just like, man. And in terms of story, that was another thing that pissed me off. Is like, you leave your father with Alzheimer's, right? By himself with an ape, knowing that he's going back to what he was to go to work. And I'm like, I mean, I know they had to develop the conflict of the story so he could go into the animal control. But I just felt like that felt kind of a little like, wouldn't you as a scientist go, damn, he's going to become, you know, can you have a friend come over and be like, can you watch my dad for a little bit? I'll be right back. Or the girl, like, can you watch my dad quick, you know, and watch Caesar? But he let his father open that door. He was just like, there's keys in the car. Let me go behind the wheel and crash it.
Yeah. He started a fight with the neighbor.
Oh, yeah. That neighbor got the shit out of the stick, bro. He got his ass beat by an ape. He got spit on by the guy with the disease.
His finger got bit. He got beat up, and then he gets the disease and spreads it around the earth.
Yeah. No, and we're that scene when they were running in the trees when the war was about to start on the bridge, and you see all the leaves just raining. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was so sick because, you know, the anticipation
of them beating the crap out of humans going to the forest. Right? You're like, oh, yeah.
And he jumped on his car. His car was on purpose.
He did it on purpose. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he tore that shit up.
I was in monkey jail. I remember.
Yeah, he did. He's like, you put me in there.
You're sucking me up. Yeah.
You sure, bitch. But anyway, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Yes, next episode, we will be continuing on with our heist movie month. And it is a very special 300th episode. And we're going to be doing a little movie called The Town. So that'll be next week, our next episode. And then next week, we continue on with the Planet of the Apes, the reboot with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And I'm excited. You know why? My boy, Koba. I love Koba. So I'm very much like, I haven't watched this one in a couple of years, but I'm very excited for it. So that's what we got coming up next two episodes.
I did remember that Koba was a little dick there.
He's one-eyed. He's like the villain of the next
Koba.
One. He's such a bastard. Koba's such a bastard.
That's the one I don't remember. Is that the one that
that's the one he freed in first one, right? That's the one that's all scarred up.
Caesar freed him. Yeah. That's supposed to be his right-hand man.
And he shot him with the machine gun.
Yeah.
Shot him with the machine gun. And he's like, Koba.
Excited. Koba.
Yeah.
It sounded like a
bird. I know, it sounded like a bird. Rise of the Planet of the Birds.
The Planet of the Birds. Ka-ka. Oh, man. Yeah.
Wait, all right.
If you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Oh, and also, Nate has joined forces with his friends again to do his Instagram live with his old podcast buddies. You check that out when we're not live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern at Nateflix Reviews on Instagram. Anything action movie, guys, can head over also to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks or visit our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com for all our podcast episodes, and all our reviews are all there. And then merch store is coming up soon. But other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
And thank you so much, Bex, for joining us on this episode.
Great job.
A dream come true, you guys. I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, thank you so much. Be awesome to each other.
Good job.